This episode of Super GG Radio is brought to you by our Patreon. Patrons of the show can get our Dogs of Super GG Radio newsletter, Super GG Radio stickers to slap on your closest PC or bag, input on what we cover, game nights with the hosts, and even a chance to win a copy of an indie we talked about. Not only that, but 90% of all patron contributions go to the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals. Visit patreon.com/superggradio to learn more.
What's good, internet, and welcome to session 235 of Super GG Radio, where friends chat about video games and all things adjacent. I'm your alien abduction specialist, Eric Getty Gettinger. With me, as always, is the man who can disprove the moon landing, Alex Arona.
Getty, it's all fake. It's all fake. The reflections, the shadows, the moon... all of it. Golf Club Wasteland is no longer a game. It's now called Golf Club Nostalgia. Nothing makes sense. Let's see. There was a lot of other things going on. Where were the people in the second tower, Getty?
Second tower? What do you... So, hold on. You heard it here, folks.
It got real dark.
The moon is fake.
If Mark Wahlberg was there...
No, nobody watched that movie. But anyway, Alex...
Robert Pattinson was in one of those movies.
So, wow. I can't believe you took it there. All right, we're also flanked by greatness with reptile revealer Joel DeWitt.
I've seen him!
Hollywood is filled with lizard people. You know they came from the Earth's core. Right next to the mole men.
That's true.
It's a madhouse down there.
I had also heard that they feast on the hopes and dreams of young Americans looking to try and afford a home in this day and age.
So that's
Colorado. Colorado airport's a bomb shelter. There, I said it.
I think people knew that. I think that one is not like
a conspiracy,
something that's a hoax or a conspiracy.
There's way too much mass. If you look at the mass index.
No, I think that's actually proven. It's the rest.
I don't think
of
that's proven yet. It's not proven yet.
All right. Well, anyway.
Would you say that the Denver airport is thick?
Yes.
With two C's. All right. Last but definitely not least, we have Flat Earther of the podcast, Alec Parks.
Oh, no.
You know. The Earth is mostly water, and it's not carbonated, so it is flat.
You know he's not wrong. But the oceans are boiling, so that's kind of got some bubbles going.
That's true.
That was good. That was good.
It was better than what I had anticipated, that's for sure.
Show me the curvature of the Earth. Show me.
But anyway. Show me the money!
If you didn't get the opening, if there's a bunch of lunatics that are clearly on drugs, talking conspiracy theories, and they have a huge listenership, I thought I'd try it out. You know, maybe that's just what we need in order to get the in. What do you think, guys?
Who are you referring to?
Don't tell them.
But I need to know,
I
too.
I think the nuttier you are...
The
audience kind of like that. Any news is good news. Press is press. Why do you think Kanye West has a mental breakdown right around album release? Follow the money.
I don't know if you're serious or not.
Joel, are you familiar with Joe Rogan?
Yeah. There's two of them on there?
There's two of them on there.
Oh.
Yep.
All right.
There's two of them on there.
The other guy's even crazier than him, I would argue.
Sadly, a friend of mine has been on that show.
And?
He was there to talk cooking and spices.
And?
That's it.
Yikes.
Yep.
All right. We have a podcast. This week, we finally... get our mitts into Skull and Bones after 84 years of waiting.
one of us did, and I'm so jealous.
I'm pretty sure it was there for everybody. We got one last drip in the news, and finally talk shop in the backlog. Guys, you ready for this episode? It's action-packed. We are... Joel, is this even going to make it out before the holiday celebration?
Yes, because I won't be doing work on Monday.
Ah, okay.
But Monday is the holiday celebration, yeah. So you need to do it before.
Yes, that's my point. I'll have it live this weekend.
He is not doing that kind of work, sir. He's going to be doing this Saturday morning while he's wrapping gifts.
And I'll do the final two Game of the Year docs. I'll post those up.
Oh, yeah? Because...
Oh, I thought you were offering to write mine.
Yeah. No, I thought yours was already written. Mine is not.
You're welcome to take a second try at it. You can try to do your best me impression writing my Game of the Year.
Yours is done. Mine is nothing. Mine is a list.
Alex,
it's got numbers sometimes in there, sometimes not.
The assignment was to just list some games. Doesn't have to be in any order. And what did you do? You just started throwing stuff in there.
Yeah, like a list of 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't get extra credit for adding more to the list.
But it's truly all I want to do.
These game studios don't see it. They don't appreciate it.
They don't. It's okay.
They definitely.
What's going on with these this show, huh? What's next?
Nothing. That was the episode.
Oh, perfect.
Woo!
as you tend to do. All right. I'm the only person that played Skull and Bones.
Yep. Tell us about Skull and Bones.
This is an Alex game.
But first off, hold on. Did we announce a segment?
Never.
It's the last episode of the year. Let's not get
too particular about
details. We're
all stir crazy. Early adopters. This is early adopters where we play alphas, betas, and games that Alex couldn't get into the beta test for. Skull and Bones. Skull and Bones.
I looked at my emails high and low.
Looking, I got into
it. Said,
this.
"Oh, you totally applied for this beta test." And I was like, "Yes, it did." But
let me tell you a story. Uh-huh. It was 6 years ago today that Alex and Joel came up with the idea for a podcast.
Sorry, not today.
It was in February.
it was not even close. But the big hype game was Skull and Bones. They were trying to get into this beta test. And then after all these years, I was the one. I wasn't even on the podcast back then. I wasn't even on the episodes where they were hyping it up. But now I've played Skull and Bones. I am
Skull and Bones.
Okay. I don't know what you know about Skull and Bones, and I don't even know if I read the stuff that I was supposed to make sure I can talk about it. But we're going to do it anyway. If we get kicked off the internet, it's fine. This is all just fine.
It's all worth it.
Yep. Yeah, after all this time, we finally talk about it. So Skull and Bones is... It's the pirate simulator, more or less. You are in high-speed, high-stakes action and on the high seas. You're shooting cannons. You start out with this like grand opening. You have control over the ship. They throw a couple of mechanics at you. You can do like a volley of cannonballs. You can do arrows that you shoot out at the other boats. And then eventually, because this is like a really nice vessel, it crashes. And you know what you end up with after that? You're in a dinghy. You're in a dinghy with two other people, and you got a spear. So here I am.
So they do that thing where they give you everything and then take it all away.
Yep, they take it all away.
They Symphony of the Night you.
So this can be first person. Yeah. It can be third person. So if you really want to sit on your dinghy in first person and look out over the ocean, it's kind of nice. You can do the third person, which is majority of what I did, and get like...
Does it look bad, like a Fallout?
There was clipping.
Okay.
There is clipping in certain areas.
Yeah,
it looked pretty nice. I'm not gonna lie. I wasn't sure about if my PC would hold up to it, so I did it on the PlayStation 5. Didn't look bad.
Okay.
I still was prioritizing performance over graphics, though.
As you do.
Yeah, just to make sure that it doesn't completely bomb out. But yeah, that ability to shift between perspectives, once you really start going, the map is pretty big in the demo that was available. I played for about 2 hours. The demo itself, it seemed like they were only giving a maybe 6 hours a day in order to try it out. But you progressively do quests and find materials, and you can build up your ship. You can change some of the cosmetics, like the clothing that your crew wears, but most of it is just grinding out and building your ship bigger and better. Because, man, let me tell you, being on that dinghy and having sharks and crocs come after you, and you only have a spear to defend yourself, ridiculous. But then once you build up your ship, feeling pretty good. Got a couple of cannons, a couple, 3-4 cannons, but still...
On the dinghy?
Not on the dinghy. Okay. You build
you
up.
You expanded. Okay.
Yes, I was able to get to the third ship build. I want to say the third one. And then I was just like, get some more cannons on there. But even with those upgrades, you can... giant trees of like, oh, you got the regular one. Like, there's 6 or 7 ones after that. Like,
okay.
Like skill trees?
Not necessarily a skill tree. If there's one, I didn't see it. But the one thing I'll ding it on is that
ding you... The ding the dinghy.
No, I'm not going to ding the dinghy. Because that's that was title. Actually fun. That's not that's the title. The title is Alex's Christmas Extravaganza.
So far, my title choice is Sit on Your Dinghy.
Okay. Or Ding the Dinghy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The only thing I'm going to give it a hard time about is the times when your character is on land.
Mm-hmm.
They really... there's some areas that you can get to... one of them is like a big town. You go in there, hang out, purchase all your stuff. And then there's a couple of other spots where it's like, all right, time to go on to this boat or onto this island. And then there's not really much for you to do. You just like walk around. Not very many interactables.
How often do they have you off the ship?
You don't have to be off of it unless you're really handing in quests. So if your main goal is to just scoot around on your boat and shoot people, probably have a lot of fun with this. But if you're trying to like...
Yo-ho, yo-ho, it's a pirate's life for me.
Yeah, but if you're trying to like do stuff, it didn't seem like there was a lot of... I would liken it to, you know, you want it to be... kind of that Monster Hunter environment where you're seeing all of these other people, you're interacting with them, everybody's doing stuff in town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It didn't feel like there was a lot of that. But when I went in and I was like, I'm going to build these cannons, it did like the obnoxious cutscenes like you have in a Monster Hunter.
Oh, cool. Were there cats?
They're not cats. There's no cats.
You, no cat people.
It looks like you can get some type of totem animal to hang out on your boat.
Oh, that just sounds like a good time.
But that's it. One fun thing that I will tell you is that at random intervals, the crew on the ship would just start singing. They would like strike up a sea shanty.
Nice.
And I was like, all right, that's kind of fun. But overall, looks pretty good. Definitely is supposed to be an MMO of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like there was a little, and it might just be the demo, felt a little lackluster in those community areas for right now.
I'm just like the cat reading the newspaper saying, I should play Assassin's Creed Black Flag.
No.
No?
Don't do that. Don't do
that. Here it's very good. Here it's very good.
Yeah, that was the big thing. It was like, oh, this is a great pirate game, and that just so happens to be an Assassin's Creed game. That's how it was sold.
No, but that's what Skull and Bones was supposed to be. Because Skull and Bones is Ubisoft. They made this to be like, well, you really like Black Flag, huh? Well, here is all Black Flag.
Well, but it's just the ship, and there's not really like, your guy isn't doing anything in town like an Assassin's Creed game.
Yeah, and they thought that people they didn't like the Assassin's Creed part and only liked the ship stuff, which is actually what I had heard, was that people were like, man... like you're jumping and parkouring, it's so like you magnetize to things so hard that it's actually not fun. So most people said like the ship battles were where it was at.
I kind of see Daddy's point. The idea of having this large empty open space and then they have you go certain places on land and it isn't acting as a community hub more so than and just a quest giving thing. That's too bad. And you would think that if they're actually going for an MMO style gameplay, they would want at least some sort of social threads going on.
There is a little bit, but I feel like it might have just been impacted by the demo. I think my issue is that more often the other areas that weren't the hub, there just wasn't anything to do there. Like, I would take the ship over there, dock on land, and it's just like you walk out, and there's a guy just sitting there, and he's like, oh, I'm gonna die here. Okay. You good? You need anything? Like, bye. And then I just walked right back to the ship and got on it, and
it's kind of hard.
It's two loading screens.
That's it.
It's two loading screens. Why?
It's kind of hard when Sea of Thieves exists, right?
That exists still?
It does. And it's still really heavily updated. And in fact, when it first, what you're describing sounds like Sea of Thieves like 1.0. And now it's like been going on so long and they've put so much DLC that it actually is like a full-fledged game now.
Daddy, did you feel like you made meaningful progress playing this? Solo?
I wasn't in a dinghy anymore, so I felt like I was...
Because that was always the thing that I thought was about Sea of Thieves. It was that, you know, to make any real progress, you need to find people to play with.
It would help.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, it would definitely
three dedicated
help.
Friends.
We don't. Not that play games. Let me tell you a little story about Destiny 2.
You know, I missed the free Epic pick up on that.
I did not.
Yeah, it's fine. I think that if you had a dedicated group of people, it would definitely be fun. The little bit that I got to play, you know, it's competent. It seems like it would be a game that you could get into, but it's also like a long haul game. You're really going to be grinding and just trying to push your way through in order to get bigger and better ships, bigger and better stuff. And then the customization is there too. So I hope you guys get to play it someday.
We'll see.
I didn't even know I was going to get to play it.
You've completed the circle, Daddy. Now you can leave.
I'm just sitting here eating my own tail.
Finish the loop.
All right. So, other games that we definitely got to play this week. We definitely played Diesel Legacy.
Yeah, we did.
Alex, tell me about this fighter.
No, this is a Joel game for sure.
No, you go ahead and explain it.
V1v1v1 combat.
Or 1v20.
This is a mix-up of beat-em-up and fighter. In that sense, you will go through, you'll be doing the story mission, you'll be walking, and all of a sudden you'll get into, like, a combat scenario where enemies will enter the plane, and then it just goes into, like, full, you know, Street Fighter, doing different moves, grapples, blocks, charge attacks, you know, specials, building meters and doing all this stuff, And it's what's fun about it is that you'll be fighting somebody, but then the next fight and it'll be five people. It'll be 5-on-1 or 2v5. But it's all the same thing, and they have like three different layers of depth, front, middle, and back. And people will jump back there, but it's still the same mechanics as Street Fighter, which is a cool thing to do. And the characters are really well like detailed. They're not like... I feel like when I see beat-em-ups, a lot of times I feel like they're generic. They look a little generic and they don't have a whole lot of like personality. These characters got some personality to them. They're very well animated. Just their standing, motion. They're not like stagnant pixel art. They're moving. They're swaying. They're like ready to go, ready to fight. You know, arm up, arm down, doing whatever. They're just kind of swaying. They just do everything they can to really animate well, very fluidly.
well designed. I thought it was really cool. There's a lot of personality in there. I felt like the characters were very, like, they were varied. Mm-hmm. There was, like, a plague doctor. There was a girl on skates. You got your classic brawler guy. There was six to eight characters?
Something to that effect, yeah.
I think six that you could play right now.
And, like, I was a plague doctor, and I was doing some really good, like, what do they call it? Zoning. Mm-hmm. So I would drop poison vials, and that would do slow damage to them if they stood in that spot. So I was kind of keeping them where I wanted to and kind of controlling the zones. If I want them to be like, oh, you're going to get away from me. Or, you know, I'm going to keep you closer to me. I could change and adjust my gameplay that way. It was really mechanically in depth. I actually found it kind of, it was a lot. I did like a basic tutorial, and then there was like three other levels of like tutorial. And then also that was just the game, and then throw in per character with different specials and different moves. I was like, this is kind of heavy as far as the depth is concerned. Is that correct, Joel?
Yeah. So in my mind, what this plays like is people who started by making a beat 'em up and then started leaning towards mixing it up with fighters rather than vice versa. You can just tell, like, the whole, you know, three-lane movement. It's clear they had the full lane open, like, to beat 'em up, but then a design decision was just, like, in order to make this a fighter, we'll need to really partition off and make it rigid about what you can and can't do. The 1v1 or 2v2 battles, it does the whole Street Fighter thing with the power bar and, you know, confines you to that left and right space, but... it feels more like a kill room almost than a, you know, an actual like hand-to-hand combat thing. And even the combos in it, you know, that you can be a bit loose in this game and still execute really successfully and feel real powerful. Like I didn't go through any of the instructions or anything, but within minutes I wasn't, you know, completely kicking ass, but I felt competent in it and felt like I had a good grasp of what I was doing. Echo everything Alex says about the aesthetic, the vibe, great animation. It is
music.
The music's great. A game like this, the animation and the feeling of impact is the probably most important thing to making it feel like an actual hit. Because the last thing you want is to be sort of this paper thin feeling like it's too. Pieces of paper slapping each other instead of an actual like punch or kick or something like that. And this does that. And it's just the right kind of mix where, yes, it's more beat 'em up than fighter, but it has just enough of that flavor where it feels close to a 50-50 split. And this is on my wish list, and it'll be a day one purchase. Like, this is really, really cool. Really cool.
Yeah, there have been a couple of times that fighters have like kind of played around with, okay, we're gonna put a bunch of characters on screen in like a Street Fighter like type mode, like Street Fighter will have like a one zany mode, like a team combat.
Oh, there was a Street Fighter Alpha 3 had something called World Tour, and there were some matches where it was like, yeah, they're just keep throwing guys at you the whole time.
And that's a cool feature, but no one ever like tried to make that the thing. And this does that really well, where it's just like, oh, man, this is crazy. And I'm with a partner, and they knock him in the air, and I hit him with a three-hit combo before they hit the ground, and then they catch him with a special move on the another one because we're just sandwiching the enemy. It works really well. Like I was watching – the thing for me was I felt competent, but I also was watching the computer – doing like special moves that lit up the entire screen. Like the skater girl was just bouncing all over the lane, destroying enemies for me. And I was like, man, I want to do cool stuff like that. But it felt though that I was just playing with somebody who was obviously better than me and was on my team. And that's good. That's a good feeling because it's like, oh, this just kind of works together. When you have a partner, they're doing their specials are popping off, you can combo off of their combo and just keep it going. You know, I think that the guy that she knocked in the air with a three-hit combo, I hit three more combos, and then she hit him one more time on the way down. They killed him pretty close to, like, one shot, but it was just, like, a fun thing. And again, there was, like, three other dudes on screen we were also fighting, and I just saw her getting a combo with a, with this one guy, and I was like, I'm gonna jump in and get that because then we could focus fire. So it just, it makes sense. It just makes sense how it works and it flows.
Now, did you play the story mode?
I played enough to know that your antagonist is your color variant.
Yes. Yeah. No, there's a guy who's impostering him, and then one of the characters goes, yeah, that guy got it all wrong. Look at that coat. That it's the wrong color, and the hair is the wrong color, and the guy's like, oh, that was close.
Now, there was one area where you're fighting, like, 10 RoboCops.
Yes.
And I just kept getting teleported over to my partner, and I don't know what I was doing.
That's a move.
Oh.
There's a button combo that'll teleport you. And it's a way to like combo off of their combo.
Okay.
I couldn't remember what it was, but it was like, I think like two button presses at the same time.
Yeah, maybe I should read the manual.
No.
Yeah, there was a way to do it. But it was like a cool idea. Again, if your you know, CPU partner is you know, comboing an enemy, hit that button command and you teleport next to them. It feels that like that might be broken, but at the same time, that's just it made it more fun. So I don't think that should be that's a good thing to have.
You're saying it's like the Smash Brothers wave dash thing, where it's like that's not a natural mechanic, but people exploited it enough to where it was a well known thing.
Yeah, like it's like it might be a thing that they nerf, and I'm going to say no, that's fun. It doesn't matter if it's like, you know, because if everybody can do it, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then it's fine. And it gets the CPU. Who cares? Who cares about a video game story mode and a fighter?
Nope.
Me.
It's fine. I mean, do. You can care about the plot, last but I'm week. Saying is that who...
In Injustice 2.
No, I mean, you can care about the plot. I'm saying is that, do you care if, like, you beat the boss through an exploit? No.
That is something that I think NetherRealm Studios does really well comparably. Like, I'm not sure I'm going there for heartfelt story, but entertaining story that keeps you engaged between them and Mortal Kombat, I think they do a decent job of that.
Mm. What I'm saying is that I love that Injustice 2 story from NetherRealm, but at the same time, I don't care that I finish Superman by spamming my jump kick. Low kick. You know, I'm glad I beat him because it was really difficult, and that was my third try. So I don't care. I'd rather just keep going with that story, and that's what the teleport. If that's what it doesn't matter in the story, teleport all day. All day, Getty.
Feeling good?
I am.
All right. Diesel Legacy, The Brazen Age. Check it out. Joel's getting it.
Yep.
Alex is getting it too.
Yes, I am.
He's for sure getting it. Yep. He didn't say it, but I know it.
I'm gonna.
Another game that we played this week. We got a lot of games we played this week. We got VA Proxy. VA Proxy. Who wants to tell the tale of this sad mechanical person that's been through a lot?
It's almost like it's Automata.
Kind of. A little bit. A lot like that.
Joel, you go ahead on this one.
So I got as far as falling down a pit where I was given my powers and attack function, and then I could not for the life of me figure out how to get out.
So I was it took me a minute. I could tell you what it is, but first say what the game is.
It is a third-person action game. You might call it something like character action, except the character here isn't that interesting. But I thought actually Nier is... Where I got to, Nier is actually a decent comparison in that's about the speed you're going with. There's some pretty slick dodging, and you do movements. Have a little robot partner hanging around you, too. Very dark tones. Dark, muddy tones all around.
Yeah, you really didn't make it out of that pit. It is open world, man.
Oh, okay. That,
it is massive, and there are just enemies ready to murder you. All over the place.
Really?
Right. Yeah. I must have gone the wrong way, because there was all these giant walking things, and they didn't give two...
No, yeah, those are normal. You come across some birds or some other ruthless guys, and they just... Yeah, I killed a couple, but not enough, because those birds were just... They chased me for a while. And it's cool is that there's just these giant ruins of like of different mechanical, like, oh, this used to be like where like the robot, like, it looked like it was like a coliseum, but it was like a robotic metal coliseum, and I was like, that's pretty cool. You know, and then there's like just sprawling fields of just giant metal beasts that are just lumbering around. And the music, it was like, as soon as you get into combat, it starts pumping up some music. It was really cool. There was a lot. Getty, how far did you get through this? Cause once I got killed like two or three times, I was like, I know this is already on. I'm just wishlisting this and moving on. Cause this is awesome.
So you know the part where you were at where you could go to, like, the wide open space? Or there's, like, a little hole? I went down the hole.
Oh, yeah. And what was there?
I got as far as I could, and then I couldn't get any further. Because it just, like, didn't give me an option to do anything else. So I went down there. There were a whole bunch of these, like, lightning bugs that I was able to collect by shooting them with my little guy.
You could shoot?
Yeah. The little guy shoots.
I didn't know. I there was no button prompts.
There were.
So, quick note to developer Pyrolith. I know you're listening. I'm very interested in this game, but you have to idiot-proof the start. I am too dumb to be thrown down a dark well and figure out how to get out.
So there's four corners, and one of them has like a line in the corner, like a weird line.
If you run up
against it, he just starts climbing.
So maybe the game could highlight that at first and give you a quick button prompt explaining what it does.
I agree because that took me 15 minutes in that well for sure.
See, getting out of the well was easy for me. Just hit each corner.
Constructive feedback. I'm an idiot. Make it easy.
I'm going to tell you, that open world was not easier.
But it's,
no.
I'm right there with you, Joel, because it didn't explicitly say, like, the best way to do this is to get a running start and then jump and then do the double jump and hang on your robot to glide.
You can hang on your robot.
And then you climb up. But I was like, well, there's got to be a way to do it. And I tried, like, stationary double jump and then try and, like, loft over. No. You really had to, like, get a good running start and then do it. Otherwise, you're just going to be stuck down there.
And it's one of those general design things where it's like, you don't need to give me the signposts over and over. Give me once or twice and teach me. And then integrate it into the levels and environments.
I mean, you have a little robot friend that's talking to you.
And he tells you stuff like, press control to shoot.
Did he say that?
Yes, he did.
I never got that. But at the same time, I'm not saying, Joel, there's a little robot friend that tells you. I'm saying is that the developers could just have the little robot friend say, hey, check the corners. There's a thing to climb up over there.
I absolutely took it the other way for the first half. And then my mind was going like, wait a second, as Daddy was talking. But so I assumed the worst out of you at the outset.
Yeah, and I was not saying that. No, it is really cool. They add like you have a block where your character turns backwards and the blocks cross his back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty cool. The enemies will do like spin attacks. So like a tornado of blades will just appear, and you have to like dodge out of the way, or else it's going to hit you. There's a lot of different things in this, and it's just like, again, sprawling vistas of this just like view of different things. And when you die, there's like a little pad where a little robot 3D printer like recreates you. You like wake up there.
It's got a good style to it.
Yeah. It really does. I wish I had seen more of it.
I think that if you wishlist it, we will see more of it.
When I was saying, like, I went into this area, I killed these little lightning bugs, and then I did something else in order to solve a puzzle. I think it was like a series of jumping challenges. And then I got to this room with a whole bunch of the robot guys. Mm. Nothing to interact with. Nothing to do. They were just standing there. So I went back down, looked around, nothing to do, went back up, looked around, and I was like, well, shoot, I can't get back to the outdoor area. I think I'll call it at this. But
there's a lot of like unexplainables, which is very cool because it's more just like environmental storytelling.
Yeah.
Which I love about that.
It's just a room of those robots. I wish that one of them had been like, hey, dude, you're in the wrong spot. That'd be nice.
But it'd be a good time to become as gods.
Yeah. Truly.
But I think that this early on, it's just dripping in atmosphere. And I like want to live in that world. I want to know more about that world. I just had I had so many questions. What's that thing? What does this do? What is that? I'm gonna go over there. What, you know, it just kept like pushing me toward it. Breath of the Wild me.
I was gonna say, and see, this is just looking at it, I don't want something like this to have an explicit, like, I'm going to explain everything to you, a story beat by story beat thing. This is one of those places where it seems like the kind of environmental storytelling, you know, picking up notes or, like, logs and things would be a good way to approach it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, this game, Breath of the Wild, would be.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good games this week?
Hell good, yeah. Yes. Good end cap to the year. Yeah.
Oh, man. There's still a week. That's okay.
Oh, I'm not recording next week.
No, we're not recording next week.
Oh, that's what you think.
You'll have to talk to Kelly about that.
Yo, ho, ho. This is the outro. Let's take a break.
A minus.
Not a lot of news, so we're moving on to the backlog. Or was there? Whatever.
Live viewers can see the news.
The world may never know.
Live viewers or our Patreon subscribers. Whatever that is. All right. We're back. Back with the backlog blog where we play games with sharks. Alex and I played. Did anybody else play Maneater? Nobody else?
This game is so...
What is Maneater? Well, picture...
I just also want to say, when your narrator is Chris Parnell from Saturday Night Live.
It sure helps. But, all right, guys, for those of you that aren't familiar with the game, you know that big craze that was going on? It might still be going on, but you had all of these TV shows that were, they'd follow a crew of, like, Alaskan fishermen as they're out there trying to get crabs.
Like all those Discovery Channel shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So imagine, if you will, that this game is following Scaly Bob or something like that?
Yeah, it's something really ridiculous.
It's following Scaly Bob as he is hunting sharks. And he's out in the Gulf. Doesn't pretty much implies it's like the Gulf of Mexico, but okay. What he's doing is he's going around and he's getting sharks, and he's hunting that shark, that prehistoric megalodon.
Yep.
So you start in this game, you play the whole thing, you're playing as the perspective of a shark, you're playing a shark, you're going around, you're just eating fish, and then you get caught by this fisherman, and your real story starts as he births you from your mother, and you
cuts open the shark.
Yeah, he cuts takes out a baby but shark. You eat his arm. So he takes your mom, you take his arm. And then it just starts with like plop. All right. Now you're in the Everglades.
Okay.
And you're going the mechanics are very simple. You just eat. It's just a dedicated like chomp button.
It's an arcadey game.
Yeah. I think I'd have played like 10 minutes of this before, but yeah, go on.
Imagine if you will, Spider-Man with less plot. where you're just going around and doing different activities.
This has a good amount of plot.
But I'm saying is that you're doing a lot, but I'm saying imagine without it. And it's just different activities. Go over here and fight these special shit, these special fish. Go over here and eat seven tourists at the beach.
Yep.
Level up. Here's a skill tree. Here's special abilities.
Well, there's no skill tree, but you
there
eat.
There is a skill. I thought there was.
No, there's no skill tree, but you eat different types of animals and humans in order to get the DNA in order to level up the equipables that you have. So depending on
mutations,
yeah, what side of stuff you do, you can get like one of them is electricity. Another one is I had the whole shadow build.
X-ray vision.
Oh, yeah, but you got like a sonar. But the thing that makes this truly special is that it just pokes fun at that whole fad. And that they, like Alex said, you got Chris Parnell, who has such an iconic voice that Lisa was walking by at one point and she's like, are you playing a game or are you watching, like, SNL?
Was it Archer?
Yeah. Yeah, because he's also an archer, but he just has that, and he's reading, like, with this deadpan seriousness, these ridiculous things like, the inside of a shark's belly is just filled with garbage.
But it's supposed to be like a documentary about the, so it's both like you keep seeing different clips of the show of these guys catching shark, but then whenever you're playing as the shark, it's just giving you like this real documentary style, you know, planet Earth style, but it's Chris Parnell saying this ridiculous stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the shark can mutate to give himself special abilities. Get out of here! The shark can create its own electrical field that will attack different enemies, and it's like, get out of here!
Completely nonsensical, and it's just stupid fun. There's no point. You're really trying to get revenge on this guy, but there's no like real thing that you have to do. You just go around, you eat stuff.
It gives you quests,
but. Would you? Okay, so it does. I would just argue that if you just want to swim around and eat stuff, do it.
Yeah. And there's even like a section where it was like oh, undersea tunnel, and I went to go to the undersea tunnel, and it says have to be elder level shark first, and I was like, you're gating me like
literal
a Metroidvania, you. Jerk.
A literal gate. So you have to go and eat more stuff in order to level up.
And there's a rank. Yeah, obviously there's a rank system. You have to be a certain level to be an elder shark. Get out of here.
I mean, I was on top of everything as much as I could be. So as I progressed through the story, it had me do like the side stuff. But I always was increasing my infamy rank. Which the infamy is you eat enough humans and then they send out shark hunters to get you. And then you fight bosses, which are just dumber humans. So it's like, here's Kyle with a machine gun. Like, all right. Now deal with it.
And it was good. You get a jump out of the water, double jump.
Yeah,
you get a damn double jump. You get the chomp mechanic. You get a thing where you can grab fish, bite them, and then spit them out and tail whip them across the map.
Alex, how far have you gotten so far?
Oh, I played like an hour.
Okay, at some point you realize
doing dumb stuff
that you can jump up onto one of the fishermen's boats.
Oh, I was doing that,
and then you just eat the people that are on there as they're trying to shoot you and run away.
Yeah.
Just dumb fun, guys. You don't have to take it seriously. It was a pleasant surprise for something that at one point was free. It's just silly goodness. All right.
I really like that one. I saw that you were playing this, and I was like, well, I just probably should just play this so we could talk about it. And I started playing it, and I was like, this is pretty good stuff, man. This is the Alex type of dumb. So yeah. I'd like that, especially like obviously like liking a lot of Saturday Night Live stuff. That was a nice, it was a real nice treat. I was like, oh, are you like, He plays one of my favorite characters in 30 Rock, Dr. Spaceman.
Yeah.
Which is just Dr. Spaceman. and it was like, is that Dr. Spaceman? Get out of here. He should not be here narrating this game. It was good.
Yep. So, if you don't want something serious and you just want to have fun and be a shark, Maneater.
Maneater.
Telling you. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Alex, do you have time and or want to tell us about I Expect You to Die?
Sure. They actually just released I Expect You to Die Part 3. I Expect You to Die this year. They did. I've only played like an hour of I Expect You to Die. But it is, I'm getting back into my VR, I Expect You to Die is a game where they purposely focus on the you're going to be sitting in a chair and just moving around with things around you. So it's pretty good for the fact that you don't need to be like have a lot of space. And the idea is that you are essentially James Bond, and they just keep putting you in different scenarios where you're just supposed to interact with everything around you to try to like escape or finish your mission. So the first mission is you have to steal this car, but you're in a blimp, and it is also the area where the car is filling with poison gas. And they're like, okay, find a way to escape in the car. You got this. And it's like, okay, well, let's check the glove box. Let's check the visor. Let's find these items. And you find things to, like, you find out that the car has a weapon system, but the weapon system is offline. So you got to, like, unscrew this hinge to get into the panel to get the weapon system and get it back online. But you don't have a screwdriver, but you have to roll down the window. And then outside the window is a screwdriver. Roll back up the window. You know, just different stuff like that. Oh, there's a bomb in the car and you got to, you got to cut a wire. There's a lot of stuff. But it's, again, just in this little, I'm in VR and I'm just interacting with the foot of space around me.
That is so James Bond, it's not even funny. I swear, is it Tomorrow Never Dies when he's in? No.
But that's the idea, though. It's just these different James Bond scenarios.
It's Goldeneye when he's in the car. At one point, yeah. I remember, and the helicopter's in front of him and it's about to shoot missiles. Or maybe they're in...
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time, but that gives me some good feels. So you're doing it on the VR, but how like fast can you move through it? Like, is it chapters?
Yeah, it's different chapters of different missions, and it's just little miniature escape rooms. It's like, I got into one where I'm a window washer, and he just pulls down, like, okay, you're outside this window, and it's like, okay, well, what do I do? And you get a gun with, like, 3 bullets and I shoot the window, which of course sets off the alarms, and now I gotta figure out how to like cut off the alarms. But again, I'm just outside the window because I'm sitting, and they're like, figure it out. And I had to like find something and throw, like grab something inside the window and throw it to cut a wire, and I was like, that's pretty cool. Like, I grabbed a knife that was like on the desk, and they're like, okay, now you gotta take this biological weapon, and you gotta like, because you're breaking into a lab, and you have to deactivate the biological weapon, and it's like, oh, here's all these test tubes and stuff, and I gotta figure that out. So, but again, I'm just outside. Imagine James Bond putting test tubes together to make a concoction antidote for this biological weapon while he's like outside on a window washer. That doesn't make sense, but it's a real good. It's a good reason to do this. And again, they've just made the third game, so it's still an ongoing series of just these little vignette missions of you being James Bond and doing these little silly things while in a seated position. And
that's fun.
I think there's a lot of VR. I'm starting to get into it a little bit more, and I feel like, you know, some of it's hit or miss, especially since I don't have a whole huge space. But this one was one of those ones where I was like, this is kind of special. When they purposely like, well, you don't need a whole lot of space.
Yeah.
We still found a way to be clever and funny.
That sounds like it could be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
All right. We made it through the backlog. You know what that means.
And no audio was lost.
No, not this time. No. I mean, night's still early.
Seamless.
No, it was seamless.
Seamless, yeah. Seamless.
But I did just get a Steam notification.
I got mine about 7-ish minutes ago. So you know what that means? It's that magical...
It's that magical time of the year where we are doing our white elephant live on the air. So each person purchased a gift, a Steam game for somebody else on the podcast to subjugate them into playing it. So it's supposed to be not mean-spirited. It's just supposed to be something fun, something that you think the person will enjoy. And yeah, we're keeping the tradition going on. This year, well, who wants to go first? Do we? What do we do? I don't remember what we did last year. One person went.
I'm opening my gift.
All right. Do you tell us who your gift is from?
Yes, and then that person opens their gift.
Okay.
Okay.
Let me find. Here it is. Okay. Where is the thing that says you received a gift? No.
There's a green bell, view notifications.
Yep.
Oh, here we go. I received El Paso Elsewhere from Joel. Thank you, Joel. I definitely wanted to play this one.
Yep. Well, that's interesting. It goes back to that was one where I think they have some of the kind of like bullet time stuff that Max Payne did, so.
Oh, the developers have fully said that this is like their homage to Max Payne.
Ah. Ooh.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I'm very excited for this. Thank you.
Let's see.
Installing now.
Starting the game.
Phil reviewed this for our website. And he had a blast. He really liked it.
We have a website?
No, we don't.
So I received my gift from Alec. And it is River City Girl Zero. Awesome.
Yeah, it looked like it was right up your alley. Good beat 'em up and couch co-op.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure how much couch co-op I'll do, but they've got the beat 'em up science down to a T, and this has a really interesting art style. Yeah, thanks, Alec.
I think that's based off of one that didn't come to America.
Is that right?
That's what it says.
America.
Yeah.
Okay.
I reviewed it for Nintendo World Report.
It's a good one. All right. Thanks, Alec.
You're welcome. And I received a gift from Getty. Ooh, American Arcadia.
Yeah, now you have to play it.
now I have to play it.
It's a good game.
Oh, yeah. Steam Deck compatible, 100%.
Yes, that's exactly where it's going.
And it's also, what, like 5-6 hours? It's real short.
Yeah.
It's real sweet.
Unfortunately, I have two gifts from Alex.
No, open the one.
I don't know which one because it doesn't tell me which one is which.
Does it give you a date? No. Give you a time?
I click on the bell and it just says you have...
The one that starts with A. Do it the one that starts with A. Right, you open them both, that's fine.
I'm going to do the one that I got at 9:45.
There we go.
I think that's the correct one.
That's the correct one.
I got Helldivers.
Nope.
Well, this is the one that came in at 9:45, so
do the other one.
All right. Well, I can't read this on the air. This message is very aggressive. I got Ast Libra revision. Thank you. 2D action RPG. Well, let's click on this and see what it is.
It's very like it's very Symphony of the Night RPG combat, and one of the things I was like, okay, I got to think about. I had a couple of ideas, and then at one point I was like, Getty, you want a long game or short game? And you go, I can't get it up for anything under 100 hours or something like that. And I was like, well, then you're getting Ast Libra. This game is real long and deep, and does all the things that a good like, you know, RPG does. It was rated of one of the best games that that no one's heard of.
Awesome. There's like a million things that I'm watching this guy equip right now. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Alex also got us Helldivers.
This is your Christmas bonus. The Christmas bonus was actually before we had the conversation, which the news that we lost the audio from. the Christmas bonus was going to be the Max Payne pack, but in the news you guys said, oh yeah, I just recently bought all the Max Paynes. And I was like, well, good, I didn't get you that bonus. Everyone gets Helldivers. Let's all play Helldivers. It's a real dumb game. It's a real dumb game that's based off of Starship Troopers.
Ooh.
Yeah, but the new one that they're coming out with looks even better than the original.
Yes, but that comes out in February, and it costs more money. Let's play Helldivers, because Joel and I have played Helldivers before.
Yep. I've played Helldivers with you guys before.
And it was awesome. And Alec is not, so let's all play Helldivers.
I have never played it.
Yeah, so let's play that. That'll be a blast and a half.
Fine.
So that's everyone's Christmas bonus.
Fine.
Thank you, Alex.
All right.
Thank you, Alex.
Yeah. This will be fun.
Ready to do this? We're moving on to our one last thing. And this year's one last thing is brought to you by the shame only a parent knows.
So true.
Feels targeted.
Yeah. But also at the same time, I definitely touched pee. Within the last 2 hours.
No context. I put no context here, and you were.
Yeah. So I'm just saying is that I understand. Excrement. There is no shame.
Urine.
I think I might
Are
still
you
smell
smelling
like
your
it.
Fingers?
I might still smell like it.
Oh. No, Alex, you're not supposed to put your hand in to check. You're just supposed to
I
peek.
I didn't put my hand in. That's the problem.
Anyway. The one last thing I have for this year, thanks for letting me hang out, guys. Thanks for letting me do this again. Obviously, our years are always going by so fast. I look forward to gaming with you all again in the new year, but until then, don't ask me to do anything. You already got my game of the year list. I'm out. Bye. Alex.
I still so this is the last show for me for the year. The last couple weeks have been lull. I had 3 shows last week, 2 this week. I'm tired, and I got to push through on my game of the year list, and then I'm pretty good to relax. I still have a review due, but that's going into next year. I'm not trying that hard. So I'm pretty happy. I do have some homework here now with Dishonored, but let me tell you, I played Dishonored. That is not homework to me. That is a delight. So looking forward to the upcoming break.
Joel?
You're all being sentimental and stuff, and I'm just here to say that I got a backbone, and I'm very happy with the results so far. I'm surprised.
That's awesome.
I'm surprised that the Etzcloud stuff has worked as well as it did.
The device known as a backbone. Don't be confused.
Yeah, Joel's not standing up there.
He's still spineless. He's still spineless.
Great. Yeah, thanks.
Nailed him.
All right. Anyway, you can move on. You spoiled my fun.
Oh, the fun is just starting. Alec?
Man, I got nothing. Y'all making me sad and happy. Thank you for a wonderful year.
Oh,
I'm going to play games now.
Hell yeah.
Go play Baldur's Gate 3 again.
Yes.
All right, that'll be it for this week's episode. This final episode of the year for Super GG Radio. Before we go, you can find us on X, formerly Twitter, at SuperGGRadio, and twitch.tv/SuperGGRadio, where I think we're taking the next week off, so check us out in the new year. We should have some stuff on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, so more on that in the new year. And if you'd like to reach us with questions or input, our email address is mail@superggradio.com, and provide us a review on iTunes or the podcast app of your choice. Thanks for listening, and good game, Alec.
Good game, Getty.
Good game, Joel.
Good game.
Good game, Alex.
GG, Getty.
We did the thing. Barely, but we did it.
Barely.
Don't make that face, Joel. You got the face that I'm thinking about right now. Like, man, we got a while here, and we still have to fix. Okay,
What's wrong? Fix your face.
I still have to work tomorrow.
Me too.
My face will be fixed 24 hours from now.
Nah, because that's when my hell begins.
Oh yeah,
that's a brutal Mars lyric, by the way.
Okay, what?
I got a four-day weekend.
How many Christmases do you need to have in the span of 72 hours?
Two.
Those
are rookie numbers, I know.
You're having five?
Minimum five.
You have too many Christmases. That's on you.
Gotta go see my mom, gotta go see my dad, gotta do Lisa's side of the family, and then I'm sure I'm forgetting some, but those are like, yeah, there's a second Lisa one, and then, oh God.
You got a lesbian Christmas somewhere in there.
I hope so.
Those are my favorite Christmases.
Those are his favorite Christmases.
Yeah.
I'm not being weird. That's a thing.
You just elaborate. You have fun.
He's got a bunch of friends.
You don't know about?
No, I'm not aware.
The terminology that's being thrown around in college,
this is all insider baseball that no one's gonna be interested in, but it comes down to is that in college Getty had two groups. He had us, our friend group, and then he also had a gaggle of how many were there? Probably like four or five lesbian friends.
Lesbians.
Yeah. When you use a term like lesbian Christmas, I assume there is some context behind it that would make it specifically lesbian Christmas. Other than
there is a bunch of lesbians, there is friend group.
I don't get it.
It's off the rails. It's completely off the rails.
Let's go. That's the news.
All right. I guess still got to do the intro to the news.
Yeah.
Please don't cut any of that.